You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I want to say good morning, but I don't want to.
Then let me do it. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome in to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Brought to you by Northtown. It's just a morning. It's rainy.
It's brought cold. To you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Now you may proceed with your misery.
It's rainy. It's cold. My golf plans for the weekend kind of up in the air.
No, they're not. Not yet.
Not yet.
There he is, Captain Optimism. He's back.
Here I come to save the day.
He was holding me by a thread this morning when I'm like, hey, man, golf's not looking great. And he's like, no, wait, no. We might go out here. They're not going to get that much rain. We'll be fine. And I'm like, I needed that today.
Braveheart.
Hold. It was 8 in the morning, and I'm like, why am I even up today? This is ridiculous.
You're telling everyone to hold the line. You're Mel Gibson and the Patriot. You take the flag, you start running the other way. Captain Optimism is back.
Give me a flag with a big O.
Yes.
Those Mel Gibson movies, good cinema, terrible historical accuracy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Come on.
But, man, you got to love Braveheart. Braveheart's a good time. I haven't watched it in a long time. Great time, though.
Yeah, those are both the same actor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just forgot about that for some dumb second there. Yeah.
Mel's got a filmography, man.
Mel's got a filmography, and Josh has Captain Optimism.
We all need it every now and then. I mean, you wake up on a cruddy Wednesday.
He's going to get a $2 cape. It's going to say Optimism on the back of it.
Oh. Are you going to spell out the whole world? It's a little bit of a long word for just a cape. Or are you going to shorten it?
The best part is like, we're going to misspell Optimism.
That's the key.
How do you shorten it and misspell it at the same time?
Optimism.
Optimism.
Yeah. We're going to make it dumb.
All right.
Speaking of making it dumb, NFL rule changes going on today.
What a transition.
We've had already, before noon, we've had a proposal withdrawn. I know Jeremy and Nate were talking about it a lot today. The Lions have withdrawn their playoff proposal, which is a little frustrating. I wanted to talk a little bit more about it. It sounds like it'll be not tabled like the tush push was, but more pushed to the sideline. We might go back to it. We might not. It's just been fully withdrawn. Also, around 8 o'clock this morning, Diana Russini of The Athletic was, I believe, the first to report that the tush push is likely going to get banned. Derek, I know how thrilled you are to be back into the tush push conversation. It had been so long since the NFL owners' meetings when this was first brought up, but it does appear that, funny enough, the coalition, maybe even led by the Bills, maybe not, but at least we know Sean McDermott's been a main figurehead in this, has gotten enough support, at least it appears, to ban the play. I simply could not care less.
Honestly, ready? And this is what it is for me at this point. I want one team that is voting for this to just say it with their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Be real. Something Bulldog is pointing out, and I've been on this boat too. I've just been a stowaway the whole time. Just say it looks like trash.
Mm-hmm.
Say the play looks boring. Be real about it. If you don't want it, make that the case. Why? I remember I'm screaming out in the newsroom in the NFC Championship getting ready for Bills Chiefs later that night. Oh, did I know my misery was going to end up going tenfold that night?
Yeah, you didn't realize that was foreshadowing.
I'm yelling at the TV of just snap the football because they keep baiting Washington to offsides to where they might get a touchdown on penalty. And I'm like, this is bad for the game.
I wanted that so bad, though. For that reason, it would make everyone look themselves in the face
and go, what are we doing?
What are we doing? I wanted it so badly.
But it didn't happen. We're getting to the same end result anyway.
Yeah, we are.
I want teams to say it with their chest. If you want the play banned because it just looks goofy and it looks like rugby and not football, just say it. Just say it, please. Otherwise, leave it alone. At this point, I'm calling the Green Bay Packers out. I hope they get penalized more than any team in the National Football League.
Because they won't say it with their chest.
Because they're being soft about it.
Just be like, it looks gross. It makes fourth downs boring. We did lose to it.
Say that it looks like poopy caca. And we lost to it, so we're sour grapes.
I mean,
that's
pretty much what it is.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean,
just be real about it.
It is funny too, because
coming from a team where we see the team benefit from it, we watch the Bills every week, and we see them benefit from this play. They're over here. I wish Sean McDermott would say it with his chest. My opinion on him would grow
A thousandfold. If he just said, yeah, it's a bad play.
Yeah, I think it looks ugly.
I just want him to say it looks bad.
If he said that with Sal and Matt during his sit down with them.
Oh, my God.
Through the roof.
The man
through
would be a king to me at that point. Through you the are, roof. Ready? If he says it, I forgive him immediately for 13 seconds.
All right, well, now that's a bit
nope,
aggressive.
That's me saying it aggressively. That is because, Zach, what is there one thing about me? I like to be genuine as much as possible. I want one team to stop doing the media speak and just say it. Just say it.
Well, and on the media speak, too, and I know we talked a
lot
about this.
Talk to us like we're all buddies at the bar.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, the play looks like garbage.
Well, so on the being honest and kind of saying what you actually mean, we talked with Sal at the owners' meetings when they were down in Florida when this was first being brought up. And the big thing, especially for McDermott, was the health risks. Now, ultimately, there isn't any evidence to point to injury risks, or at least to this point. And I know me and Sal kind of went back and forth on, is this more the committee's trying to get ahead of it and prevent future injuries? That could absolutely be one of the reasons. I find it to be like fourth or fifth, though. I think a big part of this, a lot like the kickoffs and why they changed it, the play got boring. And it doesn't look that good. And we don't really like that a lot of people on fourth and one
are just doing this.
Fans, though, are going, let's get, they're going to make it. Yeah. Why do I care? I don't have to sit and watch with bated breath on this play because it's fourth and one. They don't. Now, ultimately, it wasn't perfect. The Bills' last taste with this play was it failing them multiple times, whether it be a bad spot or not. It did not look nearly as good as it had throughout the year. And so maybe
the difference is also because the Bills play a variant of it.
Yeah.
It is not the same thing that Philadelphia does.
Right. It is not the brotherly shove or
Josh
whatever
Allen
they call it.
Hits a different gap with intention. He always veers off. He doesn't go straight on through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the failure came in. It's something that you can watch on tape. What can I grab from tape for Philadelphia's variation? The true variation of this. What can I gather on the tape of that? What can I learn? What can I counter with? My answer is Desmond Watson, the UDFA from that signed in Tampa.
It's bigger guys. It's really about it.
I need guys that have no business being in the league just because they're large.
And look, there's probably a sentiment of fans that like the effectively strongman contests on fourth and one. I won't fight you on that if you like it. I don't disagree with people, though. I'm incredibly bored by the play.
It is not aesthetically a good play.
No. And this doesn't matter, but for me personally and sort of the aesthetic of it, I don't like when my quarterback or my team are called like one-yard merchants when it comes to touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like Allen getting like 10 two-yard and in touchdowns. I don't like that. Now, quarterback sneaks have always been a part of the game. It's not going to change. And ultimately, my big point here is I don't think this will change how the Eagles and Bills operate all that much. They will still be two of the most efficient teams when it comes to QB sneaks. They just can't do this aspect of it.
They can't have players forming up behind them to do that.
Yeah.
You know what it does, though? It opens a lot more for deception if this happens. And again, all I need for is someone to say, yeah, I don't like how it looks.
Yep.
It just looks like a boring play. It looks gross. It looks not very pleasing. It's not very entertaining. Because that's the real issue behind all of it, other than Green Bay being sour grapes.
Yeah. We are expected to know during the show, it looks like. Diane Rossini tweeted about 8 minutes ago, the owners are heading into the meeting now. In minutes, we'll know the tush push's fate. So that's at least exciting. It won't be like the flag football stuff yesterday where there was growing support there, but we didn't find out until like 3:30 yesterday.
The only major reason that I'm okay with this now is that I don't have to keep saying tush push.
No, I kind of miss it.
No, I'm not going to miss it for a second. That's the one degree of solace I will take from this.
It gave the league character.
No. No, because no one's using that character at this point and saying it's a gross play.
I did like Jeremy and Nate's point too this morning when they were trying to figure out like who the third team was that benefits from this play a lot. And when you do kind of start running through it, you realize how few teams are actually using this.
It's a sour grapes thing.
It's a sour grapes, and it's just it's a boring play. Let's move. It looks too much like rugby. It's not a quote unquote football play. Let's get back to I think just say it, because ultimately the NFL's been fairly open about, yeah, there's health risks to the kickoff. We're changing it for that reason. But also, we want people to stay seated. We want people to be excited for the kickoff again.
We don't want it to be a blast for a touchback, and that's
yeah. And so now you're seeing kind of the variations, and they're figuring it out to the point where you have teams loading up on kick returners because they're anticipating now with the touchback being moved up, okay, teams are going to be far more willing to get the return guy the ball, not to just touchback, start at the 20, let's go. You know, now it's a little bit different. I'd like to see that too, where, and you know, Jeremy was bringing up this morning, go back to a few years ago with Tom Brady where they would spread the defense out. All of a sudden, five guys are out there looking like they're going to run a route, but they run a QB sneak. Or they don't. They hand the ball off, what have you. There's more room for deception. There's more room for OCs to get a little creative, have a little more fun.
And furthermore, what can I take off the tape?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing that I could, like, even Buffalo's variation of this, the second most successful team doing this play, there was something you could take away from it for study. The mm-hmm. Eagles, you cannot study it. It is inevitable to a point where Washington's trying to jump the snap count.
That really might have been the nail in the coffin, isn't it?
That sequence is absolutely the nail in the coffin.
Like, I know Green Bay is the team that's been lobbying this the most. I think for a lot of fans, that was sort of the, okay, we're done with this.
Yeah. And that was me.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I got to that point of, all right, just snap the football, please. Enough. Stop baiting them, because we all know what's going to happen in about 2 seconds anyway. Snap the ball.
Yep.
Stop doing this. It was an embarrassing look for the league. And that's that play in that sequence in that game is why more teams are probably behind it.
Yeah, where they're just like, yeah, this is bad for our sport. And there was a call yesterday for Shopping the Bulldog that I really agreed with, where basically his thesis was there's never really any rhyme or reason to a lot of these rule changes. It's just for how does it make the game look?
The Bills, we
could technically have, if we wanted to, you could hold guys. Cool. It's a game of strength. Can as a receiver, can you get the corner off you and go down the field? Or can you drag him down first? But we don't do that. It doesn't look good. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's the same with this play. There doesn't have to be a rhyme or reason to it. There could be with the sour grapes from Green Bay and what have you. But I think for a lot of people, it's just more, yeah, I kind of hate how it looks, and it makes 4th-and-1, which should be a very tense situation, dramatic situation. It's made it boring. It's made it, for two teams who use it more than anyone else, a foregone conclusion.
As a matter of fact, let's look at the Bills. In the AFC Championship, they have a problem converting that type of play.
Mm-hmm.
And on a 4th-and-goal, what do? They don't go back to the well.
Correct.
They hand it to James Cook, who...
It's a nearly iconic play in Bills history. They win that game.
To where as close can get, he gets a touchdown. That's drama. That's entertainment. It's a play that I remember in that game that they lose.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned entertainment there. I think that's maybe the most important thing to remember with any sports league. It's all about entertainment.
Hell, look at the Bills with the rule change with overtime.
It's all about entertainment.
It's not just about entertainment. That one's also a little bit about sour grapes.
That one's sour grapes, but you could say it's to make it more fair, what have you. It's
the narrative. Oh, the Bills offense never got a chance to touch the ball.
Yeah, so for entertainment purposes, we want the two best quarterbacks to have both a chance at this. We don't want to leave Josh Allen or whoever, because remember, the Chiefs started it with the Patriots mm-hmm. when they lost in overtime. So they all come from sour grapes, but the league will do it because when they sit in these owner meetings, they'll go, what's going to be more entertaining? What's going to keep us in the zeitgeist in the offseason longer?
What keeps us king?
Bingo. The NBA is trying to do it. The NBA is trying to do it with their in-season tournaments, and they're doing it now with parity where you can't really stack rosters. It's a lot of, you can have an A-plus player, you can't have 2 or 3. You know, they're trying to make it more entertaining. The NHL seems to be the only league that's not trying to make it more entertaining. Baseball did this.
The NHL's in the corner eating pace.
Yeah. Baseball did this with, let's speed up the game. What's going to keep people locked on TV? Keep them in the ballpark. We'll speed up the game. You got a pitch clock. Let's go. Does anyone care about it after the first year or so? No, most people have liked it.
Yep.
I mean, so like that's the, everything they do is just what is going to be the most entertain. What is going to lead to the most entertainment for our viewers, and that's why they're doing it. And the tush push is boring, and it's a foregone conclusion. It takes away a lot of the excitement of the game, and really, even with the Bills failing, what's the big takeaway from the tush push for the Bills game? It's the fact that the officials botched the spot.
Yep,
they don't like that, so they're like, all right, we're going to move on from that. You got to run a different play. It might ultimately look nearly the same with a quarterback sneak. But as you mentioned, the Bills had to change it up. And instead you had this wicked play by James Cook that should almost be in like the annals of Bills lore forever, even in a loss. But in a win, we've been talking about a contract negotiation for him for months now.
Oh, if we win that game
and he scores, what, you want $25 million? Cool.
Yeah.
It's Super Bowl tax, baby. I don't care. He's a hero to me. Like, yeah. That's where you're at. And that's where the league wants you to be. They don't want you to go, well, Josh Allen, he had 17 rushing touchdowns this year. 11 of them were within 6 inches. They don't want that. It's not entertaining.
They don't want ways to disparage players for their statistical wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Because context sometimes is important. And again, it's about staying king.
Yep.
You mentioned it. 4th-and-1 against the Philadelphia Eagles is a foregone conclusion. You know they're making the play. Say we're watching a game in Week 17 and the play is not banned and the Bills have forced a 4th-and-short. You're automatically assuming that they're going to extend the drive.
Yeah.
Automatically.
It becomes, I'm going to go get a snack. We're still driving.
We're going
to... I'm going to get up real quick because I know what this play
snack.
Will be.
I'm going to go get a snack because I know that the Bills will still be on defense when I go sit back down.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the league does not love foregone conclusions. The league loves having its entertainment dollar maximized. How do you stay king? You make moves that for some may seem unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may die, but that is a sacrifice I am willing to make. Always up for my dog, Lore Farquaad.
Such a good movie. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll be talking a lot about the tush push, especially with that ruling expected to come down in the next few minutes, according to Diane Rossini, as the owners are meeting now. Your thoughts on the tush push? Do you think it'll even matter for the Bills when this, it feels like, is inevitably banned? I think me and Derek are in the same agreement.
Let's have fun.
Yeah, I don't think we think it's going to hurt the Bills at all. If anything, it might make the games more exciting. Might hurt them in some games, but also might make them more exciting. I do, though, want to talk about the rule change that was withdrawn.
Actually, now, we'll talk more about that one. I do want to have my finishing thoughts based on the question. Mm-hmm. Like, you asked it to everyone. Does it matter for the Bills ultimately? No. Not a minute. The Bills have, until the Bills end up with, like, Rick Dennison as their coordinator again for some reason, the Bills have creativity and they have options. They have options because they have the quarterback. You can do so much on a 4th-and-short. Look at how the Patriots used to do the quarterback sneak. And it was a pure quarterback sneak. It wasn't players shoveling in behind him to propel him. Because that was a rule at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened when they took the rule away, but it was between then and now.
Sal talks about it all the time. Like, that was a rule. Everyone knew you couldn't push guys.
When
you
did couldn't that stop, do it. Yeah, when did it, that stop getting enforced? Nobody told me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it definitely happened, but we just weren't paying attention to the league meetings like we are now.
It's because the Bills are good now.
I think the NFL is a whole. Like, everyone's like, league meetings, who cares? Yeah. Now it's like, oh, well, you know, we got to point out all the coaches that didn't go this year for the photo.
Yeah, it's just, you know what you can do? You can do this. I think that it does not matter at all to the Bills. They have, there will end up being some plays that we end up cursing out coordinators because of it. But that happens with every team.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just make more of those plays happen? Where, do you play it safe? Do you play it a little more creative? Do you try to spread a defense out and then go with the quarterback sneak? The Bills can do that because they have a linebacker at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But what do the Eagles do? Probably the same thing, too. They just don't have players lining up behind to push Jalen Hurts. Because they have a great offensive line. They have a quarterback that can squat almost 700 pounds. Disgusting.
Isn't it at 700?
I think it is.
Unreal.
Exactly. And he does something that could be
like it is a skill that he has based on his strength in his lower body. Guess what? Teams could still try to stack the box against the Eagles. It might not matter anyway.
Yeah. I think both teams will still be the two, if not the two most, they're both going to be top five most efficient teams on fourth and one.
And it'll still be quarterback sneaks back like the way it was always intended to be.
Yeah. It is funny that this play in particular has gotten a lot of people in an uproar because it I think for both teams, it simply will not matter to how successful they are. It really is just, this is ugly, it looks too much like rugby, let's move on.
Okay.
We, I think, have made more of a thing about it because the Bills are part of it. And it's been kind of weird because the Bills have been successful, but the head coach of the team hates the play. And so it is this kind of curious, like, oh, okay. Okay, interesting. But I think for the most part, you know, if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl this year, I wonder how much, like, this is really a hoopla that it is.
Considering if the NFC Championship thing still happens...
What if the Rams just beat him in the divisional round, though? Rams are close. The Rams beat him in the divisional round. I think this play gets banned and no one cares because it's ugly. But now that they've won, it's this more, well, there's health risks. Ready? And the Eagles don't want it gone. Jason Kelsey's in Minneapolis to try to, like, you know.
And I'll tell you the other side of it. If the Eagles lost against the Rams in the divisional round, we're not even having this conversation because the Green Bay Packers don't lose to them in the playoffs and get sour grapes about it.
Yeah, but it could have been another team. I mean,
nope.
It could have been another team.
No.
The Bills could have pushed for it. The Bills have been pushing for it.
But the Bills have been pushing for it because someone else said it. It's a team needed to be bold enough to actually sit up there and say something about it and embarrass themselves for it.
Mm.
To a point where, yeah, no, if they lost in the divisional round, the Rams could have looked at everyone and said, we beat them. So what?
Yeah.
And
we beat them in the snow.
Yeah. I don't...
It's
because the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. It's because of that NFC Championship sequence against Washington that there is more support for removing the play. The Philadelphia Eagles made the Super Bowl. The tush push was beginning to be a thing, and Philadelphia was mortal. It's because they won. It's sour grapes. I want a team to admit it. I want Green Bay to admit it. And I hate them for not admitting it. Like, I think Green Bay
had to take the mark. And there's been rumblings, I think, there, too, that because they don't have an owner, per se, they don't have a face to this, they've been, like, kind of the easy team they can do it because it's the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, they needed so you're saying the teams wanted a patsy?
Yeah. And so on that, I think, for me, fans were done with the play. The Washington sequence. I think teams have been kind of done with it all year and we're just sort of waiting for the year to end to do this. Green Bay was just the easy, we'll push them out front and do this. But, like, that's my thing is the Bills could have just kept quiet about it. The Bills are good at the play. I think the Bills were fine to come out against it this year anyways because they are good at it and don't like it.
I don't think that it would have gotten as much support. If that sequence in the NFC Championship game doesn't happen, if the Eagles are eliminated in the second round of the playoffs, how much support do you really have?
I mean, it was tabled. I mean, so they didn't even have, like, initial support either.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think a lot of this comes down to it's boring, and they want to move on from plays that take intensity out of the game.
And that's why I just want one team to say it, because otherwise I kind of hate the Green Bay Packers for being cowards about it. Because otherwise it looks to me like it's sour grapes.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Again, a little bit more on the tush push. We're still waiting to see if it does officially get banned. Do want to talk about the playoff proposal by the Lions that was withdrawn. I think that is going to come back into conversation throughout the year as that will, I think, is going to be something to be discussed much more. And I don't love a lot of what they're proposing, but I do like a lot of it. But before we hit our first time out, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bike on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Game on the line, fourth and one on the goal line. What play are you running?
I'm running...
There's only one right answer.
Some type of rollout.
There's only one correct answer, And that's because it is the highest percentage chance of getting 1 yard. And that's quarterback sneak.
Quarterback sneaking it?
It blows my mind how many teams do not run a quarterback sneak with 1 goddamn yard. What the are you doing? It's a 92% chance. There's not a play in the playbook that has a higher percentage chance of working than quarterback sneak.
That is former Eagle center Jason Kelce, I think back in 2023.
And with his brother Travis Kelce talking about it on the other side of it.
So
Travis Kelce calls a rollout.
Right. He's in Jason Kelce. He's in Minneapolis. It sounds like he's with Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie, going into the owners' meetings, trying to lobby one last time
please
to keep this play.
Please don't take the play away.
It is funny that like we were sitting there listening to that clip, and he's explosive, and he's passionate about it. I mean, their podcast is really good too. I mean, they kind of go off the cuff a little bit, but on that, to me, I think that's a big reason why they're banning it. I think is exactly how Jason Kelce put it. There's one right answer. You're right for teams like Eagles and the Bills. There's one right answer, and that is exceptionally boring. For a team that has Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and Saquon Barkley and a Bills team with Josh Allen and James Cook, to have one right answer,
I'm now more firmly entrenched into the Washington sequence made this happen.
Yeah, you're there with that. I think for fans it did. I think for teams they were out for a while.
I think for Roger it did.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but that is an embarrassment on your entire league.
Was he at that game?
I don't know if he was, but he doesn't have to be.
So much better if he was at that game. Just like looking, probably was shaking his head.
Because Bills Chiefs was the same day.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing being, you're the commissioner of the league, and that is what's going out there in the NFC Championship game. That sequence is happening. Ew.
Could you see Roger just shaking his head in disappointment?
Yeah, he's probably...
What are we doing?
He's probably flipping a gasket on that. And the thing is that it is effectively nerfing one team.
I don't even know if it's hurting either team. I really don't. I think it's going to upset. Kelce seems like he's going to be upset about this. He's in Minneapolis, but outside
nerfing,
of that, you know,
nerfing and hurting are two different words.
They have the same connotation.
They have the same connotation. But does this affect the Eagles that much? No. But does it lower their percentages a little?
Mm.
Because how Jason says in that clip in 2023, there's one right answer. Now you have to find a different answer sometimes. And therefore your percentage will go down.
It is funny though that like we're talking about more entertaining, but really for like 90% of this, it's going to be 4th and inches. Cool, quarterback sneak. Let's go. That's what it's going to be. But 4th and 1s, 4th and 2s. Might be something a little bit different. We do have one new rule change coming from the owners' meetings that got passed just as we went to break. It is the tweak to the onside kick. Kicking teams now line up 1 yard closer, and a team can attempt it at any time while trailing, not just in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
I don't know why it had to just be the fourth quarter anyways, but I'm glad we got there a year later.
I'm glad we got there a year later. Good. Because now if a team is down by large enough, they can try it. Mm-hmm. They still have to announce it, but they can try it. Yeah, that was very archaic.
It just made no sense. It felt like, honestly, you know what it felt like? It felt like someone forgot to put it in. And then the rule went through and they went, oh.
Wait, why did we put that
stipulation? Yeah, why did we put that in? That was meant to be in the rough draft, not the final draft. We've all been there. We've all turned in an assignment late and gone, oh, crap, I forgot to cut that out. Email professor real quick.
Yeah, 2 paragraphs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Repeat paragraph, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Do want to talk about something that we know is not going to get passed today. It's not even going to go to a vote. It was withdrawn. And that's the Detroit Lions proposal to change up the playoffs. Funny that they're the team that did it, though. Basically, what this would do is that we would now see teams 1 through 7, not division winners, but by record. I am up and down about how I feel about this. I like the idea that we're not going to reward, you know, before a 7-9 team. Now it would be more closely aligned to like an 8-9 team. But what I do hate is the idea of hurting division winners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are sometimes bad divisions. There are also sometimes great divisions. We've seen both relatively recently.
Yes.
Last year it was the NFC North, where Minnesota, by all right, was a top 3 team in the NFC. We're second in their division.
They were playing
Detroit
for the 1 seed or mm-hmm. the 5 seed against Detroit.
Yeah. And ultimately, Detroit was playing for the same thing. Detroit loses that game to Minnesota. They go to the 5.
Right.
And not the 1. Ultimately, didn't help either of them. They both lose their first playoff game. But to neither here nor there, We've also seen teams, though, be 7-9 or, you know, what would it be, 7-10 now, 8-9, whatever, made the playoffs, host a playoff game. And I think that's really where this all comes from. It's these bad teams hosting playoff games, that four seed.
Yes.
It's always the four seed.
It's always the weakest division that ends up with this thing, mm-hmm. and there's always a wild card team typically that's better than them
mm-hmm.
that now has to go on the road. And I think to myself, I mean, maybe there are times where it's absolutely deserved. I think back to the 2020 NFC East.
Yep.
A 7-9 team hosts a playoff game. And the 6-10 New York Giants are putting up a bitch fit.
They were upset.
About the Eagles playing Nate Sudfeld.
Oh, that's right. They were upset that the Eagles were tanking for a pick. Is it the yep. pick ultimately got them Devonta Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I will never forget that one because of how shameless Joe Judge looked. Not because Washington ended up 7-9 and hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they lost that game. Tyler Heinicke had himself a great day against Tampa. He had that dog.
That was a fun game.
But I remember it more for Joe Judge just sounding like the ultimate loser.
It wasn't even just him. It was Giants players. I remember all over Twitter. They were genuinely complaining that a 6-10 team did not have a chance to get into the playoffs in the final week. And you're like, what are you talking about?
You're 6-10. You're lucky you're even in this conversation.
You shouldn't be in the conversation. And so that's ultimately the big part. You shouldn't be in the conversation.
None of you should even be making the playoffs this year. And I've got a 6-10 team complaining? So this would ultimately end those things. Mm-hmm. However, the proposal, like all initial proposals do, is a little too aggressive to start. That's why it had to be withdrawn. And part of that proposal had to do with, yeah, you win your division, you're still not guaranteed a playoff game. A playoff game. Not a home playoff game.
Just a
playoff game. No.
In your scenario, yeah. the NFC East winner would not be in the playoffs.
Yes. In that 2020, for example, the NFC East would not have a representative in the entire postseason. And while I do understand that weak teams are weak teams, it's too aggressive to pass. I understand the sentiment. You want the best teams in there. And you want the best teams hosting. You cannot get away with a proposal like that where it says, I'm taking a division winner and throwing them out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That does not sit well. It will never sit well. You can't do that. This isn't college football with the four-team playoff. You can't do it. You need a representative. Mm-hmm. From each division, because there are going to be enough people that support it to resist. That's why it's getting tabled. That's why it got removed. It's because it's too aggressive. You got to smooth out the lines, like how the initial tush-push thing is going on. There's something in the language that's too aggressive.
It was unrefined. I don't know if we ever saw what the language was, but I would argue it's probably leaning more towards we're getting rid of quarterback sneaks.
Yes.
And everyone's like, whoa.
It's unrefined.
Yeah.
You need to smooth out the rough edges on the proposal, and then we will ultimately get what the proposal is all about, which is the better team should be hosting a playoff game.
Yeah. I saw Ari Meyer of the 33rd team. He was tweeting about this, and basically his point was this proposal for the playoffs, something like this is going to be brought back at least by next year, almost definitely when we go to that 18-week schedule.
18-game schedule, I'm going to throw up.
But so when we get to that, that's when it'll likely be coming up again because you are going to have to move some things around. Mm-hmm. I find it curious, especially with the modern playoffs where we're at, we already kind of have a team that shouldn't be in the playoffs. The seven seed shouldn't be in the playoffs. How long have you had it now? 5-6 years?
It's been a couple of years, not 5-6, no.
Regardless, though, one team has won as a seven seed. It was Green Bay 2 years ago against Dallas. That's it.
Has it been that long, actually?
For the most part, not even for the most. Basically, outside of that, the two seed has just had to play a meaningless playoff game where they 95% of the time win it in a blowout, but potentially pick up an injury or two and go, great, I don't get a bye week like
Buffalo
I have
against Pittsburgh
forever. Yep. And now I'm hurt more. The one seed has in a way, because of the seven seed being introduced, has sort of overpowered everything now. Like we talk about nerfing, you know, the Eagles and Bills. The one seed now is so valuable, where we know that teams now, Bills especially, talk about win your division first, you get a playoff game, then we go on to the next thing. In reality, and I know that is true, but in reality, the one seed, if you're really hunting down a Super Bowl, if you're one of those teams, that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's the one. Because you look at the advantage, it's not perfect. I mean, Detroit, I mentioned, they were the one seed, lost in the divisional round. It's
Tennessee,
not perfect.
Infamously a
Tennessee,
one seed.
Baltimore, same thing. It's not perfect, but it is a genuine, honest-to-God advantage compared to everybody else. And it's all for, effectively, a useless playoff team in the seventh seed.
Yep. Now,
and the seventh seeds often aren't even having these terrible records. I mean, Cincinnati's 9-8 the last 2 years. They can't even make the playoffs. The 8-9 seed.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so significantly worse than the rest of these teams. And I think that might be why we're seeing teams that want to like get a little bit more aggressive with this. But I think they're worried about the wrong thing. It's not these bad division winners. They come around every few years.
Yeah.
A bad division happens. A division loaded with
infamously
no quarterbacks.
The AFC or NFC South as of late.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't happen all that much. It's the same. It doesn't always happen that much that you're going to have a 14-win team win the division and a 13-team win come second. That doesn't happen all that often.
That's not common at all. And we've seen it in the past where like a 10 or 11-win team misses the playoffs. And like you said, thanks to the 7 seed, that is no longer a thing. And now we are seeing teams that should not be making the playoffs.
Yep.
Or teams that have no business being in a playoff chase, being in a playoff chase. And that's fine. I guess, even though like we see it hurting the Bills more times than not, of having to play that extra game and cure a couple more injuries and ultimately be at a disadvantage for that sort of thing. But I've also seen a stupid team wearing red helmets that apparently doesn't care what the advantage is at the one seed.
No, they get it done. They just get it
done. They just get it done. And
that's why I'm saying it's not perfect. It's
not perfect.
It's not the end-all, be-all.
But
there is a significant advantage there.
The other thing that it would really help is teams that are the five seed. Teams that are better than a division winner about half the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where it goes chalk for record and it's supposed to go that way.
Right.
There are times where the fifth seed is better than the fourth seed measurably. And they have to go on the road. Boo hoo wah. I don't care about that. If you're the better team, you're the better team, and you can play and do it on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. It's just fascinating that it was Detroit.
Yeah.
The team that did not have anything about this with a deterrent or an issue. They did not have to deal with this at all.
I do wonder, though.
Maybe it's they see that how
yeah.
the North is stacked at this point.
Yep.
They're trying to get a home playoff game.
And you've got a team in Detroit who is sort of new to this whole thing of making the playoffs regularly, having your season kind of being like, let's just get to January healthy. Now they're looking at it going, ooh, whoa.
Why do I have to be on the road all the time?
Yeah, we've just discovered this new form of getting money from our fans called the playoff games.
Yep.
And we'd like to not lose that. Because Minnesota's loaded, Green Bay's loaded, and Chicago keeps trying. Like, we'd rather not lose that.
Yep. And that's what that – like, that comes down to teams just wanting money if they know that they have a tough division. And I get it. At the same time, boo-hoo, wah. Win an extra game.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here. Jason is up first today. Jason, how are we doing this morning?
Great, guys. I think I might have a small solution to the way that they're, we're thinking about the playoffs there. So even if you're a low win team, like a 7-9, and you won your division, you're going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You don't get it. You just then reseed it from there. You might be the seventh seed, but you at least made the playoffs because of that. Even though you had a terrible record, we're still going to allow you in, and we're going to seed things from there. So we take the standard format as it is. Each division winner gets into the playoffs, and then the next three after that. But then you just get seeded as such.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for the call. That's where I'm at. I think the four division winners get it, and this is how I would do it. The four division winners, you're secured a playoff spot. Does not mean you're going to be seeds 1-4.
Right.
So, like to Jason's point, if you're that 8-9, 7-10 team, baby, you're the seventh seed.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you've got a playoff game, but it's not at home, and you're not the four seed. You are going to be the seventh. You are a bad team that happened to make the playoffs because your division was bad. Now go do something. Now, ultimately, when we're looking at the playoff seedings, and we got to hit a break here real quick, but when we look at the playoff seedings from this year, it's not the healthiest in terms of like, ooh, where, how is this really going to change? Like, the big change in the AFC is we're flipping two teams. The Chargers would have host Houston based off record. That's it.
And does that change Justin Herbert pooping his pants?
And that's really the only argument. Everything else is effectively the same. For the NFC, there's a few differences. Minnesota becomes the three seed, and they would play a different team and such. But there isn't this bad division winner who all of a sudden, yeah, gets moved right down to the seven seed. And so that's I think, where they want to take it. The issue is division winners don't definitively get a playoff spot. I would have them get a definitive playoff spot, and so that might burn a team here or there, but we already have too many playoff teams as is. The 7-seed record against the 2-seed is simply not that good. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on the now withdrawn playoff proposal by the Detroit Lions? I think it's super fascinating. I think it's also going to be something that is brought up a lot in the next few years as we get closer to even more games being played in the regular season. Also, I want to talk on some playoff actions. The conference finals began last night in the NBA and the NHL. I have thoughts on both games as I was jumping between them. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Conference finals are underway in the NHL and NBA playoffs. They got going last night. Neither game particularly close. Ultimately. Minnesota-Oklahoma City was pretty fun for a little while there.
You know what wasn't?
And then they couldn't make a shot in the second half.
You know what was not good at all for game one? Florida-Carolina. Because the Carolina Panthers are doing exactly what they're destined to do, apparently, which is
the who?
Never... Shut up. The Carolina Hurricanes are just doing what they're supposed to do. That's the other reason I hate this matchup. Carolina Panthers exist.
Sorry, Josh.
And Carolina and Florida.
Josh said the Panthers in his update. I was listening and I was like, what? Oh, God, Florida Panthers. It's right. I was rattled for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. So I hate that conference final for another reason. But it looks like the Hurricanes are just doing what they do in a conference final, which is lay down and die.
What was Jeremy's stat today? 13 straight Eastern Conference final losses.
Good.
They hadn't lost at home yet this postseason. They immediately enter the Eastern Conference Final, and they're blown out at home. This game was 4-1, and Florida got that fourth goal, I believe, after not having a shot on net for 12 minutes.
Oh, and you know what's also hilarious? That terrible confirmed goal call for Carolina.
Mm.
That puck is kicked in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even with the refs' help, they can't do anything.
No,
garbage team, get them out of my Eastern Conference final. Thank you for showing up. You score two goals against Florida, and one of them should not have counted because you're opening an entire can of worms that cannot be put back in the bag.
Yep. Sort of like the tush push of like, when are we allowed to all of a sudden push our players? What is going on?
Since when have we been allowed to kick pucks? Apparently 2 years ago with Hudson Bashing.
Bang.
Great. Now I'm mad. Thanks.
Now I'm mad.
This is how I feel about the Eastern Conference final.
And that was not even Florida's A game. It wasn't like they played particularly. I mean, I mentioned it. Like, they hadn't had a shot on net for over 10 minutes.
And meanwhile, I've got the assistant to the general manager cheering for the Carolina Hurricanes in a box and going buck wild for the Hurricanes. Thank you. I hate it. Gross. Yuck. Bleh.
And then over in the NBA, we had Oklahoma City blow out Minnesota 114-88. Minnesota couldn't make a shot in the second half. I was flipping between both these games, Derek. And for a little while, Minnesota was going on a run. Their defensive performance in the first half was so good. They held Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to, like, I think 2 of 13 shooting in the first half. They very impressive. Both teams are otherworldly defensively. I will tell you, though, I was far more – we'll get to that in hour number two. I kind of like watching the Florida Panthers. Like, they are exactly what I want my favorite hockey
team
to look like.
It's not Florida that I have a problem with.
No, it's
in this moment.
It's particularly Carolina.
It is all Carolina. I'm watching the assistant to the general manager
cheering on the team. Granted, he played for almost all of his career, right. And his brother's there right now.
It makes sense.
So it makes sense, but also, like, where's the loyalty to the Crest era? Come on.
But watching...
And then it's just also, they were never this great team. We talked about how the NFL tabled this playoff thing. The NHL needs to change theirs.
They've needed to for years.
They desperately need Edmonton and Dallas to go 6 or 7, because this is not...
Yeah, this one's going to go 4.
Just go maybe back 5. To 1 through 8.
Maybe 5.
One plays 8, two plays 7, and so on.
Yes.
It's the easiest, most simplistic way to do it. Who cares about
you mean how every other league does it,
yeah.
Where 1 plays 8?
Meanwhile,
and so on and so forth.
Meanwhile, I'm genuinely convinced that the Eastern Conference Final happened last series.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is so frustrating because Toronto's also not good.
The problem is
we got to build up the Atlantic Division rivalry, Zach and Derek. You both got to understand. That's what they got to build up.
See, I do like division rivalries, but what they've done with the playoffs has just way overdone it. And so now we're constantly getting big matchups in round 1
and 2.
He's right.
I do hate the Florida Panthers because of how good they are in the division, and it's so also good. Because they also have a ridiculous way of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals at minimum every year over the last couple of seasons.
They're just better than everybody.
But you don't need division.
It's not that they're better than everybody. That they're better than their division.
Well, but whenever
and
they play everybody, they beat them up.
And the Metro has become the NFC South of hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the playoffs don't make you hate them. The division games make you hate them. And then the fact that they're good in the playoffs.
No, the problem is the playoffs make me hate them. I don't care about the fact that Buffalo and Florida themselves hate each other-ish. The Panthers play in a way that make you hate them, no matter what, no matter who you are. You could be freaking Winnipeg. You see them twice a year. They hate the Florida Panthers, probably. And I just, oh my God. It's the playoffs that make me hate Florida. It's the playoff format that makes me hate Florida. And it also makes me hate the entire Metro Division because nobody is showing up at this point. Like, yeah, last year the Rangers took it to 6. Cool. Other than that, has the Metro Division over the last few years been relevant? Since the playoff change of the format, has the Metropolitan Division had a representative? I'm genuinely curious. And I'm going to look that up during the break.
803-0550, the number 2 call. Always going to take calls on that withdrawn now Detroit playoff proposal. Had a lot of fun with that. Also, though, do want to talk about the playoffs. I do want to talk about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and being a flop merchant. That is ridiculous. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.